You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, Poor Me. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Two men went into the temple courtyard to pray, begins the famous parable that Jesus told. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I'm not a robber or a dishonest person. I haven't committed adultery. I'm not even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my entire income. The Pharisee in Jesus' parable had good grammar. He used the word I properly. I is a pronoun. That means that it serves as a substitute for your given name. The pronoun I is used when you are the subject of the sentence, when you are the person doing the action. So the Pharisee, with perfect grammar, said, I'm not a robber or a dishonest person. I haven't committed adultery, and the like. The Pharisee didn't use another pronoun, the word me. There's great confusion about when to use I and when to say me. Last March, I was getting a new muffler put on our car. While I was waiting for the work to be done, I overheard the clerk say, Me and my mother had a long talk the other night. And that was the statement that gave birth to today's message. It's not me and my mother. It should be, my mother and I had a long talk the other night. Because I am the subject, the person doing the action. So also, it's not John and me went to the movie, it's John and I went to the movie. And it's not me fast twice a week and me give you a tenth of my entire income, but it's I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of my entire income. The Pharisee had perfect grammar. But the tax collector was standing at a distance, Jesus went on to say. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. Instead, he became very upset, and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The tax collector also had perfect grammar. That may have been the only thing about him that was perfect. Roman tax collectors were generally known for extortion. By shamelessly coercing more taxes than were rightfully due the government, they enriched themselves. For that, they were despised by the populace. No, there was little commendable about this tax collector, except his grammar. He knew the proper use of the pronoun me. Me is to be used whenever something or someone does something to you. Me is used when you're the object, when you're on the receiving end of some action. So the tax collector said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He wanted to be the object of God's kindness. He asked God to show mercy to him. Jesus, whose grammar is impeccable, just like his life, draws the conclusion to his parable. He says, I can guarantee that this tax collector went home with God's approval, but the Pharisee didn't. Everyone who honors himself will be humbled, but the person who humbles himself will be honored. Now, here's the reason why I've been talking about grammar on a religious program. The confusion about when to say I and when to say me illustrates the spiritual confusion we all have by nature about our relationship with God. Just as there are rules that govern how we speak, rules of grammar, so there is a grammar before God. There are times when a sinner properly says I, and other times when the right word to use is me. I and me are much confused in contemporary English usage, and a similar confusion between the subject and the object in our understanding of salvation can be devastating. While the Pharisee's earthly grammar was proper, his godly grammar, the way he presented himself to God, was all wrong. He presented his good works to God as the basis for God's approval. He imagined that he was just because of what he did. You and I are tempted to be more subtle when it comes to placing our confidence in works. We are tempted to put a lot of stock in our religious efforts. The Pharisee's works were all rooted in his religious life. And you and I, by nature, like to imagine that our approval from God comes from our religious efforts. I thank thee, God, that I go to church. I pray. I read the Bible. I am faithful to my spouse. I try to be a good parent and child. I pay my taxes. I'm honest on the job. I give to charity. Why, I've even given to the Lutheran Hour. Now, as good as all that is, and it is, those statements should describe you. That does not justify you before God. Your religious efforts don't earn approved status with God. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You notice that there is no adjective before the word works in this famous passage from Ephesians chapter 2. Our works do not save us, not even our religious works. To make the point even clearer, to push this spiritual scalpel even deeper into your heart and mind, let me tell you about a professor I had when I was a student in the seminary, Dr. Robert Preuss. You may know that Lutherans think that doctrine, that is, biblical teaching, is very important. Lutherans spend a lot of time and energy talking about correct and true doctrine. The late Dr. Preuss was an expert in doctrine. Some years ago, he spoke to pastors and laypeople in northern Illinois, and he said that the correct doctrine doesn't save us. Jesus does. You can have all the words right. Your earthly grammar can be impeccable. Your intellectual grasp of biblical teaching can be accurate. And now perhaps you're thinking, right on, it's your heart that counts. And to that I say, no, your heart does not save you. Jesus does. You see, it's so easy to line up with the Pharisee, to think that we are in with God because we believe the right doctrinal words or because we strive to do the right religious thing. When it comes to getting God's approval, don't use the pronoun I to clue God into your religious virtues. Everyone who honors himself will be humbled. Use instead the pronoun me. Poor me. Come before God as someone who wants to be the object of his mercy. God, said the tax collector, be merciful to me, a sinner. Program your head and your heart to know that God is the subject. He is the one who acts decisively. He creates, and objects are called forth from nothing. His creatures act with autonomy in life. We are subjects and actors much of the time, but sooner or later we cease to be subjects and we give account to God. He approves you, or he does not. He condemns, or he forgives. He kills, or he makes alive. God is always the ultimate subject, and the day is coming when the whole world will see that clearly. Before that day comes, our place in the scheme of things should be to humble ourselves before God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This grammar of salvation, Almighty God the subject, and you and I asking to be objects of his mercy, is godly. God, by his crucified and resurrected Son, Jesus, speaks his approval upon truly humble sinners. Jesus spoke God's approval upon the tax collector in the parable, and today Jesus is God's word of approval upon you, when you place your confidence not in your religious works, but rather put all your confidence in what God has done for you in Christ. You know what it's like to make a credit card purchase and to wait for that little machine to say that your purchase has been approved at the big office? Your approved status is something that God is glad to report to you when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells it this way in Romans chapter 3. Everyone who believes has God's approval through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no difference between people. Because all people have sinned, they have fallen short of God's glory. They receive God's approval freely by an act of His kindness through the price Christ Jesus paid to set us free from sin. God showed that Christ is the throne of mercy, where God's approval is given through faith in Christ's blood. In His patience, God waited to deal with sins committed in the past. He waited so that He could display His approval at the present time. This shows that He is a God of justice, a God who approves of people who believe in Jesus. This grammar of salvation will be evident in your life and on your lips. Knowing who is ultimately the subject and the object takes the wind out of your sails whenever you're feeling like a puffed-up, holier-than-thou Pharisee. This proper grammar of asking God to make us objects of His mercy for Jesus' sake keeps us humble. And we do have much to be humble about. Does that mean that a humble Christian cannot utter the word I? Can't a true Christian step forward and act? Of course. That's why God hasn't taken you to heaven yet. He has works He wants you to do here and now. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. God has made us what we are. He has created us in Christ Jesus to live lives filled with good works that He has prepared for us to do. The grammar of salvation teaches us to use the pronoun I in the proper way. The object of God's mercy, you now see yourself as subject, as one actively doing the good works God wants you to do. I go to church, you say, not because God is wowed by my attendance, but because I love going and receiving His mercy. I pray. I read my Bible. I'm faithful to my spouse. I pay my taxes. Are things you'll say not in order to impress God or anyone else, but because these are the good works your grateful heart wants to give back to God for the kindness He has shown you. God's grace produces people who do good works. Our society needs properly motivated good works like it's never needed them before. Another tax collector in the Bible demonstrates this proper motivation for good works. Jesus was passing through Jericho, Luke 19 tells us. A man named Zacchaeus was there. He was the director of tax collectors, and he was rich. He tried to see who Jesus was, but Zacchaeus was a small man, and he couldn't see Jesus because of the crowd. So Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed a fig tree to see Jesus, who was coming that way. When Jesus came to the tree, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I must stay at your house today." Zacchaeus came down and was glad to welcome Jesus into his home. But the people who saw this began to express disapproval. They said, "He went to be the guest of a sinner." They were complaining that Jesus took the initiative and showed mercy to a sinner. But the Savior's action wasn't lost on Zacchaeus, the object of mercy. In gratitude, Zacchaeus properly used the word I. Later at dinner, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Lord, I'll give half of my property to the poor. I'll pay four times as much as I owe to those I have cheated in any way." Is that godly grammar? Then Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "You and your family have been saved today." Poor me. That little pronoun is taking so much abuse in what we imagine to be proper English usage. It's good that God doesn't finally judge you or me by our grammar or by anything else we do. He judges us according to His mercy upon sinners in Christ Jesus. The way that you and I know that is from biblical teaching. Yes, from doctrine. Doctrine doesn't save us. Jesus does that. Are religious doctrines unimportant? Correct doctrine is eternally important, because it is the godly and the only grammar of salvation. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.